Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I present on this program an ongoing spiritual revolution that's happening in this country and around the world. And tonight's guest is very much a part of that transformation. His name is Peter Roth. He has the Heart River School of Healing, and he's going to talk about a variety of subjects dealing with this transformation in consciousness. Thanks, Peter, for being here.
Glad to be on your show, Alan.
I liked what we were saying before the show about a whole new way of thinking about consciousness and what we're doing and different aspects of healing. Do you want to describe your approach? And then we'll just discuss.
Well, first of all, I do believe we're in a consciousness revolution, evolution revolution, because I think more and more people are becoming aware of living in a larger paradigm than they're used to, and appreciating it, and understanding that we have capacities that we didn't realize before.
Well, how would you describe the larger paradigm? I mean, how does that become evident for you about, you know, how does that play out in the world?
Well, in a number of ways, but for me, it's become one having to do with intuition, as it's something that I have been working with for many decades now, and I'm known for my intuition. And it's fascinating to me how that plays in our life, that we can actually know things. The paranormal has gone under a lot of scientific scrutiny in the last maybe 20 years, a lot of research, and has proven itself. And so we are capable of operating in a higher consciousness. And I've been operating in that myself, in my work and in my life for about a decade and a half. And just love the opportunity, the ability to explore knowledge that we're not used to having because we haven't asked it before. You know, we don't think that there are things that we can know, and all of a sudden we're being given information into our minds that guide us and lead us. And as a matter of fact, in science and in the arts, in industry, so many people know that they're being guided.
Well, aren't things changing because more and more people actually are feeling this connection to a guidance, to their inner knowing? Don't you feel that's the shift? I mean, it's no longer just a few people are psychics or intuitive. It's like everyone is realizing that potential in themselves.
Right, and that's what I tell everybody is that, you know, people look at me and they go, oh, I could never be like you. Look what you can do. And I say to people, no, we can all do this. We're just, you know, we haven't been told that we can, so we don't believe that we can. But it's certainly there for us.
But why, I mean, I have a couple of theories why this is happening now. I think there's a vibratory acceleration to the earth itself, so it's lifting everybody's vibration to that higher realization. I mean, what do you think the reason is?
I think that's true. I think that vibrations on this planet are shifting us into a higher consciousness, and they're going to continue to do that even more and more. We are coming into a new time where I believe that our humanity is going to see itself in new ways, that we can be much more powerful within ourselves in knowing ourselves, each other, understanding our lives, our past, being able to climb back into our distant past even.
But why do you think that's happening now at this point in our history?
Because I think it's time that we move out of the limitations of civilization that we've been living in. You know, it's been really difficult to live in these paradigms that create fear and war and lack and all kinds of competition that isn't honorable, and it comes from fear. And if we can reduce that, if we can know better and be able to read each other more powerfully, then we can relate to each other better and not worry so much about what can happen, what people might be planning or doing because of their fear to hurt others.
Right. But what I also like about your work is that you are in touch with these other dimensions, these other beings. Can you talk about your relationship and what they're here to do right now?
Which beings are you referring to?
you're in touch with like higher dimensional beings. You can tap in and
right.
see where people are from. I mean, if you want to talk about that.
Right. But I'm not... It's not like, oh yes, I'm talking to Maitreya or something like that. I know it's not like that means anything to me so much as what is the value of the messages that we're getting from higher consciousness and how can we transform those to make our lives, how can we work with those to make our lives better. And so I do speak to or hear from wherever, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, it comes from a higher dimension. I don't question where it comes from. What I question is the quality of the information. Is it enhancing our lives? Is it bringing us into more wholeness? And so I do receive a lot of information.
But tell us what these what they're saying. What is the action? If you want to be specific, tell us exactly what they're saying so you can share that with a larger audience.
Okay. Well, you know what they're saying to each person is different. And I work with people individually. I do talk to groups, but often I will speak to individuals about messages and about their lives, about their past that they need to know in order to know themselves better, to even love themselves better. And so a lot of it is information about the essences of who we are. I love to talk about that with people and help them love themselves better and appreciate their origin, for instance, or their purpose in this life. A lot of information I get is about purpose in life.
Well, can you be specific? Because I think it's in the specific details that people are, I mean, if you choose to be, like if you want to tune into me or tune into, I mean, because I like to hear, you know, the development that you're getting that will help us move to new realities.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, a lot of it is about each of us having separate purposes. So some people are here to share information. Some people are here to be generous with each other and move it, like you. You're somebody who's here to keep on pushing yourself to higher and higher data. In other words, you never stop asking questions. You never stop looking for inside understandings that you can present to people and share that. And your soul came here for that. Now, to tell you that doesn't mean a whole lot because you already know that.
Well, it's
a
nice affirmation.
Don't know what
though.
They're here for.
I don't mind hearing it just to remind me. But yeah. So, but anyway, yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, there are a lot of people who question what they're here for, who aren't confident in themselves, who, you know, don't realize any higher purpose for themselves. And you know, those are people who I can provide answers for that give them more joy in their lives and joy of being here, helping us all. and right. in ways that are unique for them. Mm. And so that's why I like to address people individually, because it's so, the details are so individual. Different ways that people understand life, different ways that they're here to help the rest of us understand life. And mm-hmm. and so we all, I think that we all have a different purpose. And yet as humanity, we're all here to move forward. But there are a lot of people who have gifts that they haven't discovered yet. And if I can help them find those gifts, if I can help them use them, or even to help them understand where they're blocked. A lot of work I do has to do with helping people understand why they're blocked, what it is that can move them in new and more successful ways. So
how do you do that? How do you find where people are blocked? How do you facilitate that? If you can talk a little bit, or is it each, again, totally individual?
I go back in time. I go back to people's either childhood or even other lifetimes where there was struggle and where there's fear. And so I'm looking at what didn't happen in people's lives, who didn't love them, who withheld, what are they afraid of that they can release? What has been in their way that doesn't have to be? And so a lot of my work is to help people find the keys to release, to get out of their own way.
So you sort of, you tap in kind of with your intuition and find, and kind of do a kind of psychic scan to find where they're holding a past pattern.
For sure. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I go back in time. We can all do that. We all, as a matter of fact, everybody does it all the time unconsciously, because that's how we make decisions about people and situations. And that's how patterns are kept in our lives, patterns of dysfunction or even patterns of success, by us actually knowing how to do that unconsciously.
Why don't you go and describe that? Because I don't think people realize how they're doing it unconsciously.
It's patterns. It's just patterns of fear, patterns that could come from making mistakes in the past, or having, for instance, even just having parents who discouraged anything exceptional about people, and they've gotten discouraged, and they are no longer interested in being who they truly should be. So I help them understand that. I can see those patterns and see where their mother or their father struggled and struggled with their children and needed to repress them in one way or another, either their hearts or their minds, in ways that have to now be unlocked. And it's not hard to unlock them once you know the pattern, once you understand it and can see where they need to love themselves more.
Well, could you tell me about one instance that, you don't have to tell me who they were, but where you were working with someone and they had a big breakthrough and, you know, what that whole thing was about, because I want to feel that in the story, you know?
Okay. I usually don't hold those details as strongly, because, you know, I do work in confidence with people, and I also I let go of stories because there are too many of them for me to hold on to.
Right.
So it's not that simple to keep track of. I don't try to.
I understand that. So maybe like a better thing to talk about is the aspect of the psychic time travel that we're doing all the time that holds us in these past patterns. It's like you're saying we're constantly feeding ourselves the past and keeping ourselves in the past. Is that right?
Well, no, I don't think I wouldn't take it so literally about that strategy. I would just say that there are fears of opening up to ourselves, to our hearts, to our minds in ways that can have been restricted by doing that in other lifetimes and paying a terrible price for it, or even doing it in childhood, or even seeing our parents try to do it and be hurt for it. And so we learn from their role modeling that, you know, we need to protect ourselves. So there are a lot of times when this is very obvious in you know, scanning people, and then I can talk to them about it, and then of course it makes sense to them, and you know, but then I also look at what is the way that they can release it. What, you know, are there any actions they can take, any ways that they can talk to themselves or somebody else talk to them that they can trust, and trust themselves and trust their hearts more, and take risks. A lot of it is helping people get to a place where they feel safer about who they are and safer about climbing into their true selves so they can own it better and become the source of light that they're here for.
Well, but if someone's in a pattern and you pointed out that's not enough to shift it, you
right. But it can be, you know, everyone's different. For some people it's just really giving them the truth about themselves, and then they can recognize it and their logical minds can work with it. But for a lot of people, it's really about learning to love themselves more because they are loved more. And so, for, you know, for instance, today I was working with a woman, and she was down in Jamaica. I was on the phone with her, and she owns horses, and she's suffering from some illnesses that are difficult for her. And I said, well, are you riding your horses? And she said, I can't. It really is too painful. And I pay the price for getting on a horse and riding it. It exacerbates my problems. And I said, well, you know, what will really heal you is to be connected to your horses. And I really feel that you need to be on your horses. And you don't need to ride them anywhere. Just every day, be on your horse and feel connected to it and feel the power of that. And then you'll feel your wholeness better. Because the horses bring her to her own wholeness. It's where she feels at home. But she wasn't on the horses because of this problem. But she doesn't need to ride them. She just needs to be with them. And so that will heal her in many ways that, you know, you can't explain. It's just, you know, the sense of living in your power of love, of what you love, of how you love to be, and then your body knows how to take care of itself.
So you just got the intuitive sense that that's what she needed.
Right. I feel energy moving when the opportunity is there for it to move. I can see what shifts it. So I could see for her that was a big shift for her. And then there are people, you know, there's a woman I work with who's in her 80s, very spiritual, and her husband died not long ago, and she feels very alone. And so she's focused on her aloneness, and yet she's so connected in the universe. And so I was able to remind her of connecting to her higher sources and living with them more. being much more in the consciousness of her universality, and she just loved that. She said, "Oh, thank you for showing me that. That's where I need to spend my time."
Mm-hmm.
And her life has shifted dramatically from that.
That's great. So there's no one particular thing that works for everyone. Is there something you do for yourself to keep you moving through your stuff?
Well, you know, we all are strong. Every human being has to deal with their inadequacies of one sort
right.
or another. Nobody's perfect, or let's just say we're imperfectly perfect. And so we all have our struggles. I know I have mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I constantly need to remember myself and remember who I am and why I'm here and all the love that's around me and just, you know, appreciate it. And I love to be able to do that and to have to do that because it enhances it all for me. I don't take it for granted. I don't take myself for granted. I don't take the love in my life for granted. It's just part of who I am to struggle. I had a lot of struggles in my early years, so I've had a lot to heal in my life, and so I know how to, I know what I need, and I'm so grateful to have the people around me who enhance that for me and help me love myself better.
Mm.
And I'm just so happy to, you know, I'm not the kind of person who can just be within myself and everything's cool and I'm okay and I don't need anybody else. I do need my family and my friends. And,
well, you have happy. A great wife, a very beautiful, compassionate person. And do you think it's true that to be a good healer, you have to have suffered? I mean, that's sort of become a sort of cliche almost, but it might be true that the only way you
empathy.
Can... What,
you know,
empathy?
The wounded healer can empathize with the wounds of others. And so I love that. I love being able to say to people, I get it. I know, I've been there, and I've had those experiences, and I've bled also, and I know how to help you love yourself better and to find happiness in your life.
Right, because we have to have felt what that person's feeling. I mean, compassion means to suffer with, right? So it's like this, we need
empathy, I think, means to suffer
maybe
with. But compassion means unconditional love for that
with
person
passion.
Regardless of what their limitations might be.
No, I appreciate you really being open about that and about what your process has been, because I think that does help a lot of people, you know, realize that, hey, we've all suffered. We all have our things to deal with, and it makes us human, you know? It makes us...
We have to be. And the more that we think we might not be, that we're beyond that, or, you know, the people out there who lead us to believe they're perfect, I would run away from them.
Right. They say run away from anyone who says they know the truth and run towards everyone who wants to know the truth. What about this idea? Well, in your healing school, you know, I in the Heart River Healing School, how do you initiate people? I mean, someone comes to you, they say, yeah, I want to be a healer. How does it, how do you progress? How do you start them off?
Well, it's all self-selective. I don't believe that anybody's going to be a healer until they own it and they can intellectualize it. And I've had a lot of people come to my school and, you know, can intellectualize it, and then it's not in their hearts. And, you know, it's in their intellect, but that doesn't do it. We just have
but it
to
must
love.
Be in their heart somewhere. I think everybody who wants to be a doctor or most in some way wants to help people.
No, I don't know. I don't know about I think that ideally we would love that for every person to be able to connect to their hearts like that. But a lot of people can't yet. And I do feel we're moving more and more into a time where we will grow into that. But in the meantime, there are a lot of people who are stuck in their minds and stuck in their fears and lack and can't function in their wholeness. And those are not healers. But there are a lot of people who say, oh, you have to be healed first to be a healer. No, that's not true. You have to want your wholeness, and then you can be a healer.
Would you say that's the most important thing you can tell someone who wants to be a healer, is to want their own wholeness?
Yeah, but see, it's also about believing in yourself, too, because you can't heal unless you have the confidence that you can heal. So if you're going to write yourself off, then you're not going to have the power. So my job is to empower people to believe in themselves and believe in their power. So it makes it easy. Healing is not complicated. It's not this very detailed. It's not like, going to med school. I mean, there are a lot of, I've taught medical intuition, and you can get into a lot of details that way. But the truth is that healing is miraculous, and to hold the miracle, we just need to hold it in our hearts and allow it. And it happens through truth and intention. And to help people get to that place is extremely powerful. And to get to that place, not only to heal others, but to heal oneself and just to live more happily. In the process of healing.
But then also you give hours and hours of courses at the school as well that focus on different techniques, right?
No, I used to more in the past. Now it's really more about, opening up the locks to our self, to our wholeness, and then the body heals. And so it's really about information that helps us know ourselves better and love ourselves more.
And
information about who we are, what our essence is, what our struggles are that we can learn to let go of and be in our wholeness. And I look in many ways to help people find that. I also work with the Human Design System, which is, this very powerful new system based on birth data, but it's not astrology. It uses the I Ching and it uses chakras, and it helps people know the mechanics of who they are here to be in detail with their strengths and their weaknesses and in ways that allow them to accept themselves and allow their lives to be more natural.
Actually, I'm interested. Can you talk a little bit about Human Design a little more and the different types of people there are, and when people realize their job here, it relieves a certain expectation and frustration.
Well,
right?
I'm glad you mentioned the word frustration, because there is a type in Human Design called generator. I'm one of those generators. I've seen your Human Design in the past, but I don't remember if you're a generator.
Well, what's the other types? There's generators,
there's projectors, there's manifestors and reflectors, and then there's manifesting generators. But 70% of the population are either generators or manifesting generators, who are also generators. And that 70% of the population are run by their motors. Generators are run by our motors. And the theme of a generator is frustration. So we're the slaves of the world. We're just running our motors, trying to make life work, and spinning our wheels, thinking that the more we do and the more we try, the more life is going to work for us. But that's because we're trying to be manifestors, and we're not. We're only generators. So So we only have indirect power to manifestation, not direct power. So all we can do is keep stirring the pot. The pot is all we know, and the pot gives us frustration because we're not manifestors. We're only stirring. Our only power is to stir the pot and create intention. The result is the magic of life delivering itself in ways that are unexpected. And, you know, we get tapped on the shoulder and we say, don't bother me, I'm stirring my pot. But what's tapping us on the shoulder is the magic of life delivering wonder in our lives, success, happiness, in ways that are unexpected. So most of us, 70% of us, really have to surrender. Even though we're always going to stir the pot and think we can fix things and make things happen and it's do, all we can do to make life work, but we're kidding ourselves because it really happens serendipitously and we just have to surrender. And we'll be amazed, and I'm amazed to see it work in my life. It always, the universe delivers, but in ways that might be, you know, totally out of the strategy that we thought was going to happen.
But, you know, that was one of the problems I had with human design as people introduced me to it. It's like they're different people. I mean, I tend to think we all have the same power and the same abilities, but human design says, no, some people are here for some things and other people are here for others. And so I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it just was a little disturbing that some people would have this more together than that, when we all seem to have the same potential, but you're saying that's
different.
Not true.
We're all different, but you know, you need to have a large proportion of the population that are run by their motors, so you can have a lot of workers, people who don't know any better and just work hard, like me. And then there are projectors, and the projectors don't stir the pot. That's 21% of the population. They don't stir the pot. They arrange it. They design it. They live in the power of their auras, and people see them and are attracted to them and invite them to participate. And they're not here to run their motors, so they're not slaves to their energy. And they're people who are, those people are much more interested in self-nurturing in their own process. And they're here to guide us slaves out of slavery to know better. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see them in action.
But and but if you believe in past lives, I know you do. Is this a soul essence or is this a personality incarnational experience?
I wouldn't differentiate it. This is who we're here to be. We're unfolding in these mechanics. Each of us are unique sparks of God. Let's call it. And so as unique sparks, we have to do the job of that spark.
But the spark changes form. Like the body changes form lifetime to lifetime. So in some lifetimes, I think we're working in this way through this personality vehicle. And in other lifetimes, we're working through some. But, you know, the essence is the same, but the particulars are different. That's my belief, anyway.
Pretty much. And so in this life, whoever we are, we need to honor it, and we need to know it better, and we need to take advantage of it. See, I'm so happy to understand the mechanics of who I am, even though I'm always going to be that way anyway. Nobody needs to know their human design to be who they are. It's just a lot easier once you know it, because then you can use it better and be your unique self that you're here to be, and love that in each other. Knowing human design has helped me honor everybody's uniqueness, everybody, no matter how good or bad we think people are. You know, there are people in this world we don't approve of, and if you look at their designs are exactly who they are, being as dysfunctional as they are, and you say, oh, they're here being the spark that they're supposed to be. And then if
they're not
true,
here to be dysfunctional,
and we can allow it.
Wait, they're not here to be dysfunctional. I mean, they are, but they're also
in their way. You know, in the way that, you know, the George W.'s and the Sarah Palin's and all, and the Rush Limbaugh's I've looked at their designs, and they're living them perfectly. So they're doing their job, who they're here to be. There's no mistake. So then what? Then how do you hold it?
There's a higher level for those people to live at. That's what I feel. I mean, yeah, they're living at that level, and the person who's the alcoholic living on the street is living at that level, but we also have the potential to rise above that and be better. We can change timelines in a sense.
Well, we can all evolve. It's true. But we're all here serving the mechanics of who we're here to be. And it serves a purpose on this planet. You know, adversity serves a purpose. Being challenged by people we disagree with serves a purpose. And so that's all the work of the universe. I think it's all appropriate. It just might make us upset that there are people we don't agree with and who are operating in ways we don't think are principled. You know, there are people whose designs have treachery in them and corruption in them. They're here to be that way. And that's correct.
I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying. They're here to be that way because this is Byron Katie stuff, because they are that way. But I do think there's free will. And I do think we have that ability.
Yeah, if you can find it to change the outcome of yourself. In other words, when it's the language you speak, you don't know any better. And so you're asking people to speak your language of what you think is correct, and they look at you and they go, I don't agree with you. I know I'm correct. So you say, well, use your free will. And they go, I am using my free will to be who I need to be. And
well,
we say, but that's not correct. And they say, well, that's your language. It's not my language.
Well, I think we can plant seeds. We can't change anybody. But
how many people? You're going to change Dick Cheney? You know, he's here. His design is all about covert activity, to be very secretive.
Right. I mean, that's true, but I want to read you a letter. I mean, sometimes people ask
Dick Cheney, we don't want you to be that way anymore, and he'll say, okay, I'm going to use my free will not to be. He's going to say, no, I have to be that way, because that's how we're going to survive on this planet, is for me to hold secrets.
Right. And I mean, that's how he feels that, but I'm going to read you a little letter this woman wrote to me about her daughter, and I'm not going to say who wrote it, but I gave a really good answer. She says her daughter has been basically alcoholic, addicted to pills for 9 years, but this woman has envisioned her as happy and healthy, but it doesn't seem to work, you know, even though her mother's been envisioning her to be, you know, this beautiful being, she continues to be an alcoholic. And she says, does it even matter that I'm doing this? It seems that it doesn't. What have I done wrong is basically what she asked. And I say it's because you've been trying to impose your will on someone else. That's been part of the problem, which is sort of what you're saying. I said, if you just let your daughter be who she is without, you know, intending her to be different, she might not have as much of a reaction and actually be able to be herself. Does that make
sense? Yeah, the mother is presupposing what the daughter's schedule is and unfolding is, and is trying to change it to her own needs. And the daughter has to grow in the way that's appropriate for herself.
Even if it's being an alcoholic and
for now. But we don't know what her future is going to be. Let's just hope that she all of a sudden comes into realization. And maybe the mother's prayers can do that. But maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year. Or maybe it's 3 years from now. Or who knows what has to happen in the daughter's life to shift. But
or maybe
it has
being
to happen
an alcoholic
its own way, and the mother can't interfere with that, really.
I mean, I heard some spiritual teachers say maybe being the alcoholic is really the highest being that person can be. It just looks that way to others that they're not. So maybe they're serving a greater purpose with the people they come in contact with. I mean, we don't really know.
There are all kinds of ways to look at a problem and see it as a gift. and we don't know what the gift is because we have our own opinions.
Shirdi Baba used to live under a tree. People would give him food. They thought he was a beggar, and he was quite an evolved being, you know? He blessed people who came into his presence. So
we should stop having too many opinions about others and work on ourselves.
Right. So what about all these healers that want to heal everybody?
Well, you know, it comes from a good heart, and we don't know whether what they're doing is going to work or not, or if it's in the best interest of some people or not. But when you come from your heart, we need to allow that. I don't want to discourage anybody who is coming from their heart about something, but we can certainly talk to them about why they might be discouraged and see, you know, maybe they have expectations that are unrealistic.
Well, and also I think there's something about intention or group intention and holding the highest intention. It does seem to work where people got together in groups and prayed in a particular city and the crime rate went down. And so there is, well, we've been talking about this the last few weeks as a field effect. And why don't you talk a little bit about your knowledge of that? And I'm going to be interviewing Mark Newkirk next week about field dynamics. But talk about that and group intention and the power of the field.
It's very powerful. I've had incredible experiences with group intention and with people who are ill, and all of a sudden, you know, they're on the deathbed, and all of a sudden they open their eyes and say, I don't need to be here anymore. I'm going to go out and get back to work. You know, it's like incredible how things can shift. And yet it doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. And so we can all, you know, as I was saying just before, we can all come from our hearts and put our intention out there. Then we have to surrender and get out of the way of the picture and what the result is going to look like. We can't presume that we know what's correct, but we can certainly offer our heart's intention, and whatever is correct will happen. And it might be nothing that we can understand, but then we should walk away and say, I offered my love, I'm happy, so be it.
Right. Well, I think that's a good point. Can you also talk, and or from your words, describe the field, how when intentions are put into a conscious field, then something is shifting on a bigger level?
Well, there's a lot of research into that when you have enough people having the same interest, you create an energy pattern of that that's very powerful. And you know, we see it all the time. Kids, if you remember, if you ever did that when you were young, get together with a bunch of kids and you have a friend lie on their back and you all put like two fingers under the person's body and imagine them being real light, and all of a sudden you raise them up and they feel like a feather.
Right, I've done that actually. We're levitating them, I think.
Yeah, and so that's intention, and it works. So you see how it works, and a lot of amazing things, miracles have happened from intention. And if it's powerful enough, if you're focused enough, if you have the desire enough for it, you know. But we can't fool ourselves that we can do everything that way, because it's not all appropriate for us.
No,
or
it's not. But what I'm sort of getting at is it's a sort of new physics, you know, understanding what a field is. And I will be talking to Mark Newkirk about this more next week, is that there's actually an unseen fabric that keeps us linked to one another.
Well, we're all reading each other all the time. All of our memories, all of our personalities are all in the vibrations of our bodies, of our energy field around us, of the in the universe, holographically even. It's not even in time and place. It's non-local. And so everybody on this planet is reading all of that, but most people are unconscious because they're just behaving according to those patterns. And many of those patterns are restrictive. Many of those patterns are in the paradigm of the age that we've been in that have a lot of fear and lack and limitation and problems. And so we read that and we are conditioned by it. And then if we get into a field that's much more harmonic and expansive, like Mark Newkirk and the light field, then we're in an environment that opens us up and we have more choice. We have more choice to not be afflicted by life patterns that surround us all the time of the age that we've been in, so that we can move into a newer age.
Well, I think, you know, something seems to be shifting as far as the understanding, like you said, the understanding of who we are. I'm talking about, in a way, conceptually, as these new images and new models, it seems to open doorways to new potentials in us. And I think
exactly.
that's what you've been doing for people and teaching. I think it's really exciting times that finally we have a new model of the world that is non-local. And I don't really, in a way, know how to describe non-locality except that we're all connected. Every point in the universe is connected to every other point in the universe, in a sense, but not on the third dimension.
Well, it means that everything is everywhere at the same time on all planes of time and space. It's all this complex, very beautiful pattern of information. Not always beautiful, but it's patterns of information that we are part of. That's how we know ourselves. That's how we are operating in those patterns. And usually we're unconscious to them. But those of us who know how to tap in are becoming more and more conscious about them, and it's a great opportunity to live differently than we're used to.
Well, how do you think that concept will affect where we're going? And also, let's talk about where we're going as a planetary race and what you see as a vision for the future.
I'm getting the word highness. I think we're getting higher. We don't need drugs for it. I think that we're expanding to this holographic reality, and more we're part of it, and our awareness is open to it, so that life is more transparent. I think transparency is a good word, that we all become more transparent to each other so that we can forgive each other more and honor each other's limitations as well as our beautiful hearts, and have more compassion for each other and live in that sense of allowing each other to be without trying to force anything, without imposing ourselves through through many different ways, whether it be, you know, wars or money or politics or whatever. Granted, those all have an important role, but we have to depend on them less and less.
One topic that I would like to just talk about is spiritual discernment. You know, without naming names, it's like, you know, how do you know? I guess you have to feel it. Who you want to be associated with, and how do you know this stuff is good or this stuff, and who do you trust, and And, you know, I think the whole idea of discernment, maybe it's a personal issue. How do you see it?
It's our instincts. And we have to trust our instincts as much as we can. And the more we do it, the more we learn from them. And so I think they work. I think, but we don't, so many of us don't believe that we can trust them. And I think that's a lot of the unfolding is to learn to live in our truth better and allow them. And, you know, so many people look to others for advice. A lot of people ask me, you know, what should I do? You're intuitive. You know where to go for the answers. I don't, so tell me what to do. And I want to teach people how to listen to themselves.
And they do that by
a place where they can discern themselves without asking someone to discern for them.
Right. And I agree with that. It's in a way following what your feeling is, no matter if it goes against what someone else is feeling. That's where the problem is. I'm feeling this, but you're telling me you're feeling that. So do I?
And a lot of people have had a lot of pain in their lives being true to ourselves. And it takes a lot of courage to live in your truth.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
more we do it, the more we learn to trust it.
And I've always done that, but, you know, I've also separated myself from people who feel they know the truth. And it's like, I've been around people who said this is the most amazing guru in the world. And personally, I didn't want to have anything to do with them. And it's like, you know, I think partly different things work for different people. And I think sometimes people are deluded as well. And that's their choice.
Right,
you know?
and they have to grow in their own ways, and we have to let them grow in their own ways. So we can't always, you know, manage other people's unfolding. I only really want to, you know, I only work with people who ask. I don't want to impose anything on anyone, even the people who ask. I just want to help them know themselves and make their own choices.
But, you know, as far as discernment, I guess this is what I'm sort of asking. There's some people who do see a bigger picture. Like in the older school with gurus, the guru would tell you to do something that you didn't want to do, but the guru would know it would push you through something. Now, if someone tells you that and they see it's good for you and don't want to do it, you don't do it. And in a way, you don't get to a new level because the personality doesn't want to shift. So it's like those two schools of thought.
We're moving into a paradigm where we need to be in control of our own lives and not give power away to other people knowing better for us.
But do we ever break out of our patterns then? I mean, sometimes you do need a push from someone who'll say, you know, look, trust me, I'm seeing a big picture. But then again, you don't want to give up. But I know what you're saying. It's finished with that age. But I do think there's people who do get stuck in things that they can use help if they trust someone who sees a bigger picture. But
you can always offer advice to people. I offer a lot of advice, but I don't tell people they have to do anything. I just tell them, you know, this sounds pretty good to me. What do you think?
But you know, sometimes the very thing the person doesn't want to do is the very thing that will get them free, the very thing that's keeping them, you know, locked in.
Yeah,
the very
but who are we to impose ourselves on others? I agree with you, but I think it's too arrogant to believe that anyone should be given that power over anyone else.
So I tend to agree with you. So it's like worth letting go of the guru, having some people stuck in order to give ourselves the own power to move in our own way.
We learn our own lessons.
One way or the other, right?
Yeah, good.
Right. Well,
we have the freedom to do that. You know, I'm a parent, and I know how much I want my children to succeed, but I know that they have to find their own way to success by bumping around and and experimenting, and I can't tell them, oh, don't do that because I learned. No, they say, well, I want to learn for myself. And well, you know, no, you can't. Well, you can't do that. They automatically will reject that.
Right. I guess it is a job of a parent to just tell them how the parent feels, but then allow the child to do what they will, in a sense.
Well, it's certainly at a certain age too. I mean, there's when they're too young, they do need more guidance and rules and things like that. But you know, at a certain point, you have to let them use their own wings.
One more thing I want to talk about is this whole idea that you talked about when we spent time on a weekend together about time travel, and also mention your program that you have, because I think people can benefit, you know, from the interviews you've done. So I'm interested in time travel and also your program.
Well, I'm interviewing a lot of people who are in the forefront of scientific discovery and revelations about life in ways that we haven't been exposed before. And one of those is time travel. And there are a lot of scientists now on this planet exploring and developing technology for time travel that's very advanced. It's not, oh, someday. It's now. And there are countries, some major countries, that are putting a fortune into research and development of time travel equipment. So it's not just some pie-in-the-sky thing. It's really at our doorstep. And there is evidence that there was time travel in the past. There's a lot of evidence out there about time travel, even in our own government, we had time travel equipment many years ago that was used by our military, not for war, but for exploration.
I don't quite get the concept of time travel. We could go back to the previous moment. Would that shift the previous moment? Can you explain what you feel is the basic core of
time
travel?
Well, there are about 10 different scientific ways to create time travel, and you can David Anderson is one of the people who, I guess you can find his website about time travel. Basiago, Basiago, has been involved with time travel. And a lot of it, in the past it was used holographically, working with different frequencies and with Einstein and Tesla. And Enrico Fermi, they were the scientists involved with the technologies that led to time travel. And now going forward, there are some brilliant physicists working with it. And it has to do with warps in space we don't see, because we don't understand how dynamic space is and time is. So we're stuck in very linear reality. But science has learned how to get inside of that and manipulate that so that reality isn't anything like we're aware of. It's much more plastic, I'd say, or usable in ways that we had no idea. And so these scientists know that, and they're working with it.
But what would be, they're working with it, but do you think it'll really be something that everyone will be able to have access to?
We don't know. There are a lot of reasons to be afraid of time travel, because what if people want to go back to the past and manipulate it? They don't like the present. They think they can change it by changing the past, and that could destroy the present.
Well, I think it creates different generations of universes.
We have that power.
I think, but is that what's happening? You feel? Has that happened? I mean, you're saying the U.S.
government.
Well,
any new technology in the wrong hands can be very destructive.
Well,
we do have
the government already has it. Then it may have already been used for those purposes, right?
Maybe, but it's hard to say how much manipulation has occurred from time travel in the past. There's a lot of evidence of time travelers that, if you look at ancient artifacts, you'll see a lot of objects that don't belong in the past. They belong in the present or the future. And they're found embedded in stone and ice and all kinds of things that shouldn't have been there.
So in a way, you're saying what the whole discussion's been about, we need to spiritually evolve if we're going to have these new technologies, because this way we'll be beyond that manipulation, right?
Yeah, we have to have more openness about technology, not so many secrets, and that much fear, because if there's openness, then we can manage it more safely. If it's secret, then who knows who can get hold of something and use it adversely.
But if it's open, we have to worry about just anyone coming along and misusing it as well.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm saying we need to evolve collectively.
Yeah, if it's open, then we're on top of it. If it's secret, then who knows who will do what to what.
Right.
So there's a lot in the future that is both promising and also unnerving.
But it's going to be very interesting, nevertheless, right?
It already is, and it's only going to get more so.
I think I'm going to interview David Anderson in a few months, I've been in touch with him. Have you interviewed him?
Yes, he's been on my show. My show is Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network, and a lot of fascinating guests all the time, every week. I just love to interview these unique people who are moving us forward on this planet.
Well, how many do you interview? David Anderson and that guy Michael, and then who are your other time traveler guests?
Well, Andrew Baggiago, Baggio. I've interviewed him a few times, and he used to work with the government and was involved with their time travel and teleportation technology.
And who else was there?
Well, those are the two that are particularly time travel people. And then I've worked with a number of, I've had guests who were working with science and paranormal phenomena. I've been working with people who do regressive hypnosis to bring us back into our knowledge of our souls and our higher selves, and that's fantastic. And I'll be doing more of that. I love that subject matter.
Who's a good guest that does that?
Well, Michael Newton has written Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls. And he's fantastic. And then there's a man in New York, Paul Orand, who is his leading practitioner who works with that technology. And he's been a guest on my show.
How can we find your show?
Stories to tell us.
Really? Like what? Do you want to read?
Well, it's all about who are we when we go back. I was regressed hypnotically by Paul Orand, and I was in between my last lifetime. I actually went back, saw myself in my last lifetime, and I was in India. I was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. And then I came forward from that lifetime in between my last life and this life, and I was out there, and and met my higher self. Who I am when I'm out there is, in a sense, separate but the same as who I am here. And, you know, because here I'm Peter Roth. Out there, I'm the holder of many lifetimes. And I saw myself as that being, at least the representation of that being, face to face. And it was, I was in tears. There was such love and such connection that I I'm still in wonder about that experience. It's just so fantastic.
Isn't our destiny, though, to bring that higher self into this incarnation? Isn't that what we're all really here right now to do?
No, I don't think we're supposed to bring it so much as connect with it, to know ourselves in that higher place, but not, you know, not superimpose that dimension on this dimension, but interconnect them so that we can know the experience of that dimension and still be who we're supposed to be in this dimension.
I think we are not supposed to, but I think our highest destiny is to embody the higher self in the human form and then live in a paradise on Earth. I mean, just imagine what a planet that would be.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but that's also presupposing a reality that maybe there's something better than that.
Well, you said it brought you to tears meeting your higher self. Just imagine if you could merge with that. Just imagine.
But I already am. See, that's the point. It's we already are. We don't know it. So the idea is to know it, but still be in the presence of ourselves, not in the presence of all our other lifetimes together, because I think that would be very confusing.
Well, not if you're a master. I think all those other lifetimes are in our presence, and I think, you know, I'm touching them all the time. I
agree with touching them. I'm talking about being them. We don't understand. Our minds can't comprehend the dynamic nature of multidimensionality. And so we're only presupposing what can be, and that can be very limited.
I think you're putting a limited. I think that was. I mean, this is just my opinion, but that was the old paradigm. I think we're coming to a place where our minds are capable of understanding the multidimensional being, and that there are lives, probably hundreds of lives, all happening at once, and we are facilitating a multidimensional existence, and I think that's the place the Earth
is. But Alan, just think what happens if we get rid of time and space and everything's happening at once. How does that represent itself in our reality?
It's like walking two worlds. Yes, there's the everything happening at once, and it's also the awareness that we're living in a linear time world. So it's like having a multidimensional picture, which part of it is having the linear reality as well.
Okay, so, I agree that it's good to know about that and it's good to understand it, but to climb into it and become it is beyond our comprehension. And I don't know whether I'd be looking forward to that now at this point in our evolution. I think, you know, perhaps we're supposed to evolve into all is one, and every moment is one, and that might be great, but that is beyond our comprehension. I don't have perspective on that.
Well, I'm just putting out a hypothesis. It may be beyond our comprehension, or it may be the very thing that we're evolving towards as truly multidimensional being. I mean, I don't know.
Good.
I mean, I'm aware, and who knows if I'm right, of lifetimes, meeting people, and that seems like a, you know, oh, yeah, this is definitely a lifetime that remembrance from another time. So I don't know, it's just fun to play with these possibilities.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, this discussion, I'm so happy that you asked me to be a guest on your show so we could play with these subject matters. And you know, obviously we each have our own understandings, and I think, you know, it might help the audience with, and they have their own understandings to play with us about it. And,
yeah, definitely. And
to roam around in this discussion with us in their own minds, I think that's beautiful.
Well, that's really the whole point of my program, is just exposing people to thoughts they might not have considered before, and expanding a possibility, because when we do that, me and you, we are helping them become creative beings that, you know, maybe they'll have an idea that will assist the whole planet by opening up possibilities for others.
That sounds wonderful.
That's my intention.
You're serving a great purpose. Your show, you know, and I love your, the way that you know how to get out there and find amazing people and interview them. And I've always been so impressed by that.
Well, I appreciate you too, and it's great that we can share guests and share each other as well.
Good.
So your program is on what time, and where can we find it?
Well, it's on it airs on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock at Eastern Daylight Time at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and the show is called Energy Stew, but it's also archived.
It's archiving your website?
Well, yeah, heartriver.org is my website, but I'm not as current on my archives as Progressive Radio Network. So if people want to go there and go to Energy Stew, they can just go through months and months of interviews that I've done.
Great. Well, any final words?
I just really want everybody to be excited about life and about potential, to, you know, listen to your show, hopefully listen to mine, and grow in ways that we all want. And I'm thrilled to be part of that, and, you know, and to interview people who are making major contributions to that. And so I love it when people listen to our shows and grow from it, and we know that we're serving a purpose, and we enjoy our lives so much more because of that.
It's true. It's really exciting for me to find people that are shifting consciousness. I mean, this is what I'm doing all the time, whether I'm interviewing or not. I'm looking for people who are original thinkers that are moving realities in new directions.
Yep. Doing a great job of that. I always look forward to seeing what you're up to and being excited by it.
Well, thank you for being such a great support and a good friend, and good luck. So your website again is theheartriverhealingschool.com?
No, it's heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. It's the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Peter,
thank you, Alan.
I appreciate it. So we'll do more soon, and if you have
good. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks for being a guest.
Thank you.
This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And if you want to see what I've been up to, check my website, newrealities.com. I'll be interviewing Mark Newkirk next week about the light field technology. This is a song by Chris Williamson, and it's called The Song of the Soul. Sort of a theme song I like.
I am dying. I am not dying. I am dying.